Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to be with you. It is the beginning of another week. Well, it's here. Yeah, the virus is here. Apparently, a person who works at the school in Lake Oswego has the coronavirus. So, what does it mean for you? What do you think? By the way, it's kind of interesting in just looking at some of the responses from many of you on, in the email. I have to tell you, I mean, we're taking this seriously, but man, think about this. What does it really mean to you? I mean, can you protect yourself? Is wearing a mask going to do it? I mean, apparently, in fact, who was it here? So I got an email from Jim about this, and it's pretty profound. We're going to get into this. We're going to also get into a little bit more about the Republicans are still gone, as you know, and they're going to be gone. I don't think they're coming back. I don't think there's any way that they're going to come back, because I don't think the Democrats are going to compromise. I think the Democrats truly believe that they have to stand firm and let this thing play out in terms of all of these bills that are before the legislature. Oh, and they're trying to turn up the heat. You're seeing all kinds of stories on it. And we'll get into that. But bottom line is, the Republicans aren't coming back, folks, and they're out of state. I mean, they are. It doesn't matter if they send the state cops after them. It's going to be totally worthless. And there's a legislative lawyer who says, well, maybe these subpoenas that the House has issued, maybe they are real after all. Yeah, right. That little old piece of the Oregon Constitution. Yeah, that probably takes precedence over that. Anyway, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, are you worried here about coronavirus? I mean, everybody else has been talking about it, folks. But I haven't spent much time on it because it hasn't primarily gotten here to Oregon. Well, it has now. Okay. So how do we deal with it? So Jim sends me this email. By the way, it's 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. If you want to weigh in on this, what are you going to do to protect yourself from this little old thing called coronavirus, which apparently really only it doesn't really hurt healthy people. Now, there are still those who are saying, yeah, well, there are people who are dying who are very healthy. Well, that may be in other places, but at least not so far in America, and certainly not here in Oregon. Now, the Lake Oswego schools are going to stay shut down, okay, just, you know, for a few more days. They went in and apparently, I don't know how they did it, but they, over the weekend, they went in and took care of the schools. They cleaned them up. They disinfected them. So Jim writes me this email. So, Jeff, I've been turning away customers for days who all asked for the same thing, the November 95, the N95 dust mask. Actually, this has been ongoing for a month until all types have been bought up. I even saw it. Now, get this, folks. Listen to this. It said, I even saw a full-size pallet load on our receiving dock that was stacked to 6 feet high with the 3M 10-count cartons. All of it was bought by one person and shipped to China. Now, just stop for a moment. In all of this silliness about just people freaking out about this thing, I want you to think about that. You know what struck me when I read that? You know what struck me the most was it? Why can't China produce enough masks on their own? I mean, you know, doesn't the world buy their masks from China? Don't they? I mean, don't we buy everything from China? Huh? I mean, you know, because they make everything cheaper than in the supply chain, right? The world supply chain for everything. Why are the Chinese buying masks from America. Well, can you say in one word, capitalism? Now, China has a lot of capitalism going on. That's how these rich Chinese parents can send their kids to our American colleges. That's how these rich Chinese can come in and buy all these incredibly stupidly expensive pieces of real estate in places like Southern California and New York City and so on and so forth. But why is it that America happens to have the world's best mask when it comes? Well, it's because we don't have government-run healthcare. It's because we don't have a government-controlled, planned central economy. That's why. Because we have something called liberty here. We have something called free markets. We have something called capitalism. To those of you who might be listening to me who have bought the lie of the left, that, yeah, you know, socialism, Bernie, you Bernie bros out there, socialism is what it's all about. We need more socialism. No, we don't. Now, if people are buying pallet loads of masks made in America and are shipping them to China, what does that tell you about the Chinese economy or the fact that they're not able to produce this stuff? China's a strange place, folks. Who knows how this thing really got started? I mean it. Who knows how this disease, this virus got started? You know, the Chinese, I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, I know I'll say something that I will regret if I do, so I'm not going to say it. All right, anyway, so continuing on with Jim's email here. The unintended consequences, he writes, of this demand. People who need them for their jobs, their projects, and general protection from dust-related causes can't get them. What's a mother to do? I think we should shut the planet down now. Hey, if you're going to label me some whatever kind of extremist, then add germaphobe to the list. But I firmly believe that the few cases said to be just random are by contact with carriers who have had no symptoms and have had no clue they were infected. We take our mobility and casual contacts for granted. I would agree with that. He continues. It could be the line at the grocery store or the handle on the cart. All the simple points of shared contact with surfaces can be the start of a chain reaction of contamination, and you wouldn't even know it until you become sick 2 to 3 weeks later. But that's okay, because we can just blame Trump. Now, James, Jim, that is the perfect segue into this Oregonian story. This is why we call the Oregonian the fish wrap. This is an AP story by Douglas Perry. Here's the headline. Coronavirus effect on the world economy grows after Donald Trump lashes out. What? Huh? That's a headline in the Oregonian. Coronavirus effect on the world economy grows after Donald Trump lashes out. Now, you would think, just by reading that headline, at least my first impression of that was what? And then it was, what did Donald Trump say that is having a negative impact on the world's economy? Do any of you know what that is? Again, I go back to Jim's email about unintended consequences. Hey, doesn't matter. You know, we'll just blame it all on Trump, right? Well, you know how Trump is being criticized because of his quote-unquote slow response, even though there was no slow response? By the way, did you also see over the weekend that that one outbreak it was something that happened during the Obama administration? It took Obama months to put together a team to deal with it. Did you see that story over the weekend? You probably didn't, did you? Well, this Douglas Perry story that had that headline that makes you think, if that's all you read was the headline, was that because Donald Trump lashed out in that mean, nasty personality that he has, that so many people don't like because of Donald Trump's lashing out. The world's economy is crashing. It's all Trump's fault. Yes, I'm yelling into the microphone for dramatic reasons. Well, here's the first two paragraphs of this story. This is a Tokyo headline. AP. The coronavirus outbreak's impact on the world economy grew more alarming on Saturday, even after Donald Trump denounced criticism of his response to the threat as a hoax cooked up by his political enemies. And then the second paragraph, that's the first paragraph. China's manufacturing plunged in February by an even wider margin than expected after efforts to contain the virus outbreak shut down much of the world's second largest economy, an official survey showed Saturday. So let's see. Donald Trump had his little Saturday press conference where he said that criticism by who? Is it criticism by the Chinese so much? No. His political enemies. Who would that be? Oh, maybe Pelosi and Schumer, right? Who've been criticizing him for the quote-unquote slow response, right? Huh? Donald Trump is mentioned in this story in the first paragraph, and that's it. The rest of this very long story is all about the purchasing manager's index, okay? And other various market issues about the illness and going back about how many people have been infected in the countries and the death rate and Iran, which is 7%, and all these, you know, these Middle Eastern countries like Saudi Arabia and Bahrain are threatening legal prosecution against travelers who come from Iran and haven't been tested for the virus. And Saudi Arabia is going to bar citizens of the Gulf Cooperation Council from Islam's holiest sites in Mecca and Medina over concerns about the virus spread. Now, that's kind of a big deal, given that, you know, they got Ramadan happening and the annual Hajj pilgrimage, right? Finally, despite anxieties, you get down through the story, and it says, despite anxieties about a wider outbreak in the U.S., Trump has defended measures taken and lashed out Friday at Democrats who have questioned his handling of the threat, calling their criticism a new hoax intended to undermine his leadership. Shortly before Trump began to speak, health officials confirmed a second case of coronavirus. So this is Friday. Trump responds to the criticism by Pelosi and Schumer. And the next day, a story comes out that the world's economy, based on the purchasing manager's index, is getting worse. Folks, that survey put together long Trump.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Well, it's 24 minutes past the top of the hour. I hope you enjoyed that musical interlude. I have absolutely no clue where that came from or what song that is or who sings it. But I, you know, maybe you were dancing in the back of the room like it said. I don't know. Maybe we got hacked by the, the anti-Trump folks out there. Anyway, great to have you back, friends. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Diamond Royalty Rides. You know, go to their website, DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. You can check out all the, well, the great ways that you can hire a limousine and a limo driver and make somebody feel really special, because that's exactly what happens. Check it out, DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. You know, the Republicans are gone, right? They're gone from the Capitol. In my conversation with the Republican leader in the Senate on Saturday, I had a phone call with him. They are definitely out of state, and they're definitely in other states. In fact, I think I saw Representative Mike Nierman from the Mid-Valley here pumping gas somewhere. It looked warm. He looked like he wasn't probably in cold Idaho. Yeah, my guess is it's somewhere south. Okay. So Stacey Ann says that was Mercy Me, Happy Dance. Okay, Stacey Ann. More on Stacey Ann. I'm just introducing her to you. There's a reason why, and you'll figure it out as you go along. Soon, you'll figure out why Stacey Ann's important. Anyway, did you know? You know, one of the things one of the reasons that Republicans are gone from the Capitol, stopping this carbon energy sales tax, is, well, the fraud that it is. In the Oregon Catalyst today, OregonCatalyst.com, is a piece by E. Warnereschke, and Warner is a state representative Republican from Klamath Falls. Great conservative guy. So the headline of what he writes is, what if Oregon could make a global impact? What if they could? Well, because the reality is if you go to OregonWatchdog.com, you'll see another story from the East Oregonian newspaper about moderate Republican Senator Bill Hansel from out there in the Pendleton area, who is telling people, look, here's the deal. Oregon is 0.1% of global CO2 emissions. Anything we do here will make zero difference in reality. But it's even more than that. As Warnereschke points out in this piece, and it's the third paragraph, and he says, first, we must go back to the CO2 emissions mandate set back in 2007. Now, these are Oregon's mandates, okay? The first milestone set by the legislature was that by 2020, that's today, Oregon must reduce its greenhouse gases by 20% of the 1990 levels. Did you know? Now, listen to this. Did you know that no government agency was measuring greenhouse gases in 1990? This is a critical fact. Therefore, the 1990 levels are determined by estimates and assumptions to the best guess of the amount of CO2 that was in the atmosphere in 1990. He goes on to write, if we were to assume those 1990 best guesses are close to correct, another and more important assumption is in play, that this measurement is to be conducted in absolute terms. Since 1990, Oregon's population has increased 35%. If we look at CO2 emissions on a per-person basis instead of an absolute one, then Oregon is already exceeding its 2007 mandates, having reduced greenhouse gases over 22% from 1990 levels, 2% ahead of schedule, without cap and trade. Moreover, Oregon ranks third in the nation for the lowest CO2 emissions when measured on a per-person basis. One serious flaw with the 2007 legislature's mandate is simply this. It doesn't say how to measure emissions on an absolute basis or per Oregonian. And then he goes on to talk about, this is not a trivial point. To expect Oregon to attract new industries, create new jobs, and bring new people to our state, then to also expect that we would not measure CO2 emissions on a per-person basis seems like the game is rigged. Yeah, duh. He goes on, if we are to use absolute measuring standards, one simple way to meet the goal would be to drive those 35% who came to Oregon over the past 30 years back out of state. Ironically, that's exactly what may indeed happen if cap and trade passes the 2020 legislature. Now, he goes on to talk about this. The bottom line, friends, is they are the 2007 legislature. Now, I left the legislature in January of 2007. That session, they established an arbitrary number by which no government measurement exists. Is that dumb or what? But I bet you the average, this is the height of public having gone out of state. That's 6:30 in the morning back in the day.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes to the top of the hour. We will go to the phones in a moment. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. You know, there's another piece of this, this article by Werner Reschke, state representative, Republican on the run, who's striking. Yeah, he's on strike, folks. That's just to make the Democrats feel better. They like it when people go on strike, don't they? Well, Republicans are on strike. There's another piece about this. I bet you didn't know this either. You know, the reason I just shared that I am sharing these two main elements of the story by Werner Reschke, and you can go see it again if you go to OregonWatchdog.com or OregonCatalyst.com, either one of them. There's a reason. Remember, you know, what's the theme of this show? It's persuading the persuadable. The first point is one that you can use in conversation with people. You can say, you know, Oregon says we have to be 20% below our CO2 emissions, 20% below the 1990 levels. That's what Oregon put in place. That's the law. Okay? You can say, did you know that government didn't track, didn't even measure CO2 emissions in 1990? It's true. They didn't. Everything that they say was the level at 1990 is just a guess. That's the first point. Second point is this one. Did you know that Japan just announced that they're going to be constructing 22 new coal-fired power plants? It is estimated, Werner Reschke writes, that these new coal plants will emit roughly the same amount of CO2 that the entire U.S. transportation sector emits each year. Let's just stop for a moment. This is, reinforces the whole point of why Republicans have walked out. Oregon is 1/10 of 1% of total CO2 emissions. No matter what we do, we're not going to make any difference in world emissions, especially when you have Japan announcing that they're going to build 22 more coal-fired power plants. And that is equivalent to the entire amount of CO2 that is emitted in our entire transportation system in America. That means trucks that are delivering your groceries to the grocery stores and the stuff, the cheap Chinese stuff you buy at Walmart. That means the ships that bring the cheap Chinese stuff infected with coronavirus from China into Walmart. Just kidding. That means every airliner that's flying in the air. It means every one of you that are driving a car that has an internal combustion engine or a motorcycle. Every locomotive that is using a diesel engine to produce electricity, because that's how they run, right? All of that, the entire U.S. transportation sector for an entire year isn't as much as what Japan just announced with 22 new coal-fired power plants. So why on earth would we think, why on earth would we destroy rural economies? Why on earth would we dramatically increase the cost of living for everybody in this state, especially the poor and the middle class families who can least afford it? Why would we do that when we know it ain't going to make any difference in the world, because the rest of the world is like giving us the middle finger when it comes to the whole idea that CO2 is bad? Oh, by the way, Werner Reschke points out, wouldn't it be great if Oregon could export a form of energy to Japan so they wouldn't have to do 22 coal-fired plants? He says, well, we can. It's called liquefied natural gas. It's that Jordan Cove pipeline project down to Coos Bay. Mm-hmm. It's a heck of a lot cleaner and less CO2 emitting. But guess what? Kate Brown, state agencies, along with the environmental regressive totalitarian Marxist environmental wacko groups, did you like that? They oppose it. And they basically said, you're not going to do it in Oregon. But hey, so let's trip over a dollar bill so we can pick up a dime. Let's stupidly say no to really clean burning coal, which we produce in America, that ought to be going to places in China rather than the much more polluting coal that comes out of, say, Australia or other places like that. No, let's say no to cheap, clean burning liquefied natural gas, while with some mistaken idea that we're making the environment better, because that ignores the reality that Japan is going to build 22 more plants and they're going to burn coal. And it ain't going to be coal from America. It's going to be coal from a dirtier place. These people are crazy. Anyway, I just thought I would share those two things with you. Number one, things you can use to have conversations, persuade the persuadables. Number one, we're supposed to lower our CO2 emissions to 20% of 1990 levels. Did you know government wasn't even measuring CO2 in 1990? It's a guess. Nobody knows. Secondly, Japan just announced 20 new coal-fired power plants are going to be built. And yet in Oregon, we've denied the ability for much cleaner burning natural gas to get shipped out of Coos Bay to Japan in place of dirtier CO2 emitting coal plants. Those are things that can help you persuade the persuadables. 503-589-1220. This segment of the show is brought to you by Eric Azer. Righteous Renovations, you have your choice out there of people that you can hire, contractors these days, to renovate. Maybe do a kitchen remodel, maybe a bathroom, maybe put that new deck on. Who do you know that will do it right and will do it the way you want it and give you value for your money? That's why you ought to go to RighteousRenovations.com, because on their website they have some great testimonials about Eric Azer and his team at Righteous Renovations. They do it that way. RighteousRenovations.com. Check it out. Let's go to the phones first. We'll start with Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. Your thoughts?
I wanted to thank you for those two points of conversation, because I did not know that. And I will make a sign for each of those to go hold on the street. Also,
good for you. Thanks, by the way. That's good.
Also, the other day I called in and you said I should sue because of them, of the lady in Senator Fagan's office lying about me to the police.
Right.
And I never acted in her office in any way violently toward her, because my goal in there was to get her to see that she's trusting the wrong people. So what I'm going to do is, they've told me that if I want to come to the Capitol, I have to contact the police in writing. So I'm going to send them an email and ask if it's possible to either bring her some flowers or to have them delivered. And my goal is that the people who are in the Democrat Party would see that they're trusting the wrong people. My goal is not to attack them with a lawsuit. My goal is to use the liberty that I have to speak freely to show them that they are not doing the right thing. And
well, okay, the laudable goal, but I think you misunderstood what I was saying in terms of who you should sue. You don't need to sue Shamia Fagan's staff or the Democrat Party. It would be suing the state of Oregon, the Oregon State Police, for denying you access to the Capitol, not based on anything other than someone's word against yours. That's what you should sue for. I think your goal is laudable, and I'm going to let you go, Rebecca, because I need to move on to Dwight here. But it's a laudable goal, and I think it's a very good idea. Why don't you take that staffer flowers? And I think you're right. Get them to understand who it is they're listening to is lying to them. Let's go to Dwight, who's on the line. Dwight, good morning. Your thoughts and welcome.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. And thank you for all you do to alert us to the truth and a lot of these issues. I've been listening to people saying, you know, attitude determines action. And it just is important to set a right attitude. Why don't we have the attitude that, hey, if Chinese goods are not going to be coming to America, whoa, that gives American manufacturers more market to sell their products. So let's gear up and take advantage of this opportunity. Just a crazy idea.
Well, maybe that's one of those unintended consequences. Is Donald Trump to blame for the world economy going down?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Of course he is. Right. Thanks, Dwight. 6:48 in the morning. Back in a moment. Kim Thatcher is doing something really cool while she's on strike. Tell you what it is when we come back. Don't go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Got an email from Rich. By the way, you want to send me an email, it's jeff@1220.am. Says, you know, Jeff, in my opinion, The Democrats, Socialists, Communists here in Oregon have violated the state's constitution when it comes to the short session and the emergency clause. They have violated the law, the intent, and the spirit, the reasons for the short session and the emergency clause. It's too bad we can't shut this down on these reasons. Well, the way to do that, if we truly believe that they have violated the intent of and especially the emergency clause, is you go to court. But it's the only way you can do that. Lee writes me an email, says, free ads on YouTube, ? Getting ready for the day, I clicked on a tab and YouTube popped up. And what do you know? An ad about Denise Bowles' walkout is a paid vacation and she's getting paid. Last time I checked, YouTube still charges for the ads. It's their business model, right? So who is funding this smear campaign? Oh, yeah. Blame Trump for everything. I will make the connection in a conversation and see if anyone catches on. It doesn't make sense. So, yeah, the Democrats' meme out here is that, you know, all these Republicans are getting paid vacations. You know, their staffs are still working. Oh, and that story that you can read on OregonWatchdog.com about Tina Kotek, the Speaker of the House, saying, well, maybe we can reduce the staff salaries. Good luck with that. You know, the only way you do that, Madam Speaker, is to pass a law that changes the rate of per diem. And you would get sued immediately. Oh, did I mention you can't pass any laws right now? Because there aren't enough people there to have quorum. Funny how that is. Anyway, regarding getting paid, did you know that these state senators and state representatives are still doing constituent work? You know, their staffs are still answering the phone, except maybe Tim Knope's staff, but never mind. You know, the staff is still there. They're still doing constituent work. They're still answering letters. And so is the state representative and the senator. They're still working. They're just on strike against the tyranny of the majority. The tyranny of the majority. They're on strike. They're striking. Republicans are striking. They're on strike. Again, just giving you little buzzwords that you can use. I mean, isn't it funny how Democrats just love it when union people go on strike? Because it forces those mean, nasty, unfair employers who are just getting rich on the backs of their workers. It forces them to have to come to the negotiating table. By that logic, wouldn't it be appropriate for Republicans to use that same logic? Republicans are on strike against those mean, nasty, those Democrats who run the legislature and Kate Brown, who just are determined they're going to ram their agenda down our throats rather than let the people vote on it. Kim Thatcher is doing something really cool. She sent out a press release. You know, she is on strike. She is donating her per diem, which is her, that $125 a day, I think it is. No, $151 a day. My apologies. Daily allowance. Everybody gets the $151 a day. Well, she's donating it to the Vietnam Veterans War Memorial Fund. We're trying to raise $2.7 million to create a separate Vietnam Veterans War Memorial there on the Capitol grounds. And she did this in honor of our friend, my friend, her friend, and colleague, Dennis Richardson. You know, of course, was our Secretary of State, died tragically of brain cancer. Well, Dennis was a decorated Army helicopter dust-off pilot in Vietnam. It's medical evac is what dust-off means. Kudos to you, Kim. In fact, I'm glad you're doing that. And in fact, I think that everybody else ought to do that, too. to the extent that legislators can, I think they should be donating their per diem. Oh, I know, it's costing them to rent hotel rooms and places to be on this so-called paid vacation. It's anything but. So, the reality is, with all of this business about coronavirus, Democrats blaming Trump. Did you see, by the way, you know, they're dinging Trump because of, quote unquote, the slow response, really? It's funny that I thought I saw over the weekend that Kate Brown has convened a coronavirus response team. Yeah, that was Saturday, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was. Well, wait a second. How long has it been since we've had somebody infected in Washington State? Oh, only about 2 weeks. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Democrats criticized Trump for being slow. But it's okay for Kate Brown to be slow to put together a response team, even though the neighboring state had a case. And lots of people have been moving between Oregon and China and other places that have. Yeah, no, don't expect anybody to be dinging Kate on being slow. Well, slow to the response, anyway. Reality, folks, is this. Coronavirus is here. Take the normal precautions. It's probably going to spread in Oregon. That's just the likelihood of it all. Take some precautions. And stand firm with Republicans that are standing firm for you against, well, these two points that I made that are in the Werner Reschke article on Oregon Catalyst. We got just a little bit. We can go to the phone. A little bit of time left. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning. You're late today.
No, I'm not late. I've been listening, you know, doing a little work. But I you know, to all those Democrats that are out there saying that the Republicans aren't doing their job, I want to set the record straight, okay? They were elected to represent their people in the best way, in accordance with the law, that they could. And it is completely legal for them to deny a quorum. And by the way, each one of those representatives and senators also represents themselves because they are a part of those districts. And so they are doing their job and doing what they think is right. So for anybody to accuse them of not doing their job, it's just flat lying because they are doing their job, Jeff.
You're right on, Art. You're right on the money. Philip, sorry, I'm not going to be able to get to you today. Maybe tomorrow. Folks, it's the end of the show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow.